This is Psalm 30, a song for the dedication of the Temple of David. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O God, Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping away any remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm, and when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, to the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and the merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned away my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Mark 5, verses 21 to 43. A dead girl and a sick woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking round to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the child stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I was preparing today, earlier this week, and I said to the Lord, look at these two miracles in the Gospels. Which do you want me to speak about? Because I could preach about an hour on each of them. He said, don't you dare. I said, what, don't dare preach for an hour? He said, no, don't you dare split up those two miracles, because I put them together. So I won't. But I thought I'd better bring a clock with me so I can maybe keep it down to whatever. This is a very interesting clock because it was given to me by the people of Wormingford, or one lady in Wormingford, because I said, wouldn't it be nice if it was a clock at the back and I make sure all the services only last an hour? So she gave me this tiny little clock. She said, just a joke, John. So in a joke, I put on the back, long service award, presented to Reverend John Chandler in acknowledgement of his long services. So there we are. Lord, however long you want me to speak, be generous to these people. Amen. Those two are linked, and I'm sure God put them together. In other words, brought those people to him together. That dead girl and that sick woman needing healing. Jairus, a synagogue ruler. How embarrassed he would be that the synagogue ruler comes out of the synagogue and finds Jesus. It's like consorting with the enemy, isn't it? But how embarrassed must a lady have been who suffered with that issue of blood for 12 years. She'd be anemic, you can imagine, 12 years. But she had such great faith that she knew that even if she just touched the hem of Jesus' cloak, she would be healed. Jairus knew that Jesus could heal the daughter who, scripture says, was at the point of death. What great faith they both had. But that poor woman, 12 years she'd been suffering, presumably now getting to the age where she would no longer be thinking about childbirth. And in the other place, a dead girl, 12 years, just reaching the age at which she would be having to think about childbirth at that age. How wonderful to put those together, and what faith. But this woman, as she approaches Jesus, the embarrassment would be hers and hers alone, wouldn't it? Because only she knows. But as she approaches Jesus, there is a problem. Jesus had just arrived there from Gerasa on the southern side of the Sea of Galilee, right to the northwest to Capernaum. And as he approaches the sea, you can see thousands of people all gathered. How did they get there? How did they all know? Twitter? Word of mouth? Now there's learning from Jesus for you. Try word of mouth. It works. So they're crowding around Jesus, so much so. You can imagine, can't you? If a famous politician or pop star was going through the town, people crowding in on him. Yeah, and no great security people there to stop it. So there they are. And actually, she's unclean. That's what blood does to you. As she is crowding around everybody else, all of those people, she has made them unclean. If she touches Jesus, she's made Jesus unclean. And yet, that flow from her for 12 years is stopped when she touches his cloak. And Jesus says, who touched me? How would he know when everybody's crowding round onto him? Answer, because he knew that that flow from her stopped when the flow from him took place. Power has flowed from me, he said. Isn't that wonderful that he would know that? But you know, the wonderful thing about that is that it happened before Jesus said, who touched me, because power had flowed from me. It was definitely her faith that had healed. Agreed? Not anything that Jesus did. Now, please, this is being recorded. Don't take this out of context. I don't know whether Jesus ever actually healed anybody. Because what happened in every one of 26 healings somebody's counted, 13 of them Jesus didn't even touch people. Some of them wasn't even there. The centurion's servant got well at the moment the centurion showed his faith to Jesus. A crippled person, get up from your bed and walk. And he does. Lazarus, come out. Did Jesus do it? The answer is in this miracle of the lady. Because of her faith, power flowed from Jesus. So it wasn't Jesus, the man, who was healing. It was the power of God's Holy Spirit working in Jesus, through Jesus, from Jesus, to heal. Agreed? Very important that Jesus doesn't do something wonderful with all of these healings. Just, Lazarus, come out. Yeah? And all the others, you check them. Even where he puts spit and mud into people's eyes, that doesn't heal people's blindness, does it? I don't know what happened. I once was blind, but now I see. Praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. Who are you? Answer John, we are the body of Christ. Oh, I see. So if you are Christ's body, you can't heal either. But in you is the same Holy Spirit who at that time was in Jesus' physical body. Isn't that great? What are you going to do about it? I had a friend in a previous church in London before I came to Colchester, and he had a bee in his bonnet about healing. I said that once, and he took it as an insult. It wasn't. He used to give people cards, credit card-sized cards, and on them it said just three words, expect a miracle. And I put one in my pocket too. Expect a miracle. How can you expect a miracle? You're in church. Maybe they happen in church. Do they happen outside? Well, look at those two parables, those two miracles. The synagogue ruler came out of the synagogue to meet with Jesus. Those people who were crowding around him probably only went to the synagogue for hatching, matching, and dispatching. Ring a bell? That lady wouldn't have been able to go into the synagogue being unclean for 12 years. Jesus had been in synagogues before, but his work was outside. Just before this episode, if you look beyond the text at the context, Jesus had been in the Gerasenes, and that's where he was out, not in the synagogue, but with the people, and he healed the Gadarene demoniac, and they were so amazed and frightened that they asked him to leave. After this, Jesus goes from Capernaum to Nazareth, and a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown. And they were amazed, well, by some things he did, but he couldn't do many miracles there. And it's said that Jesus was amazed by their lack of faith. And he worked in the community. As we go out into the community, we're the established church, aren't we? Would people expect a miracle? Keep your card with you. Draw one up on your computer when you get home. Expect a miracle and learn from Jesus. Because when he was in the community, things happened. When the body of Christ is in the community with purpose and determination, things will happen. Who are you praying for? Then put your prayers into action. Be out there. Even though you're the established church and people in their hometown would find that the prophet is without honor, still do it. And you'll see that things happen. I'm sure that's what God wants me to say to you this morning. But I'm just going to close. by learning one more thing from Jesus along the same topic. When Jesus went into that house with a dead woman, dead girl of age 12, he took with him Peter, James, and John, who should be learning. That's why he took them, learn from Jesus. And what did he say to her? Talitha kum. Talitha means little girl, or actually little lamb. Talitha kum. And she did. She got up. Act 9. Peter had just said to someone, get up and walk. And he did. And someone comes to him and says, there's a lady who has died. And she did such lovely things for us. And she's there in an upper room. And she is actually dead, laid out, washed. And we're all wailing outside. Peter goes there. And he goes up to her. And he says just little words. He says, Tabitha, get up. Tabitha. Okay. Jesus said to that girl, Talitha kum, look at this dead woman. Tabitha kum. Must have been the same words because it was in Aramaic, yeah? Learn from Jesus. Do what he does. Do it in the way he does it. Find out how he's doing things, but do it as the body of Christ, the church. Lord, may we all do that as the body of Christ and know with confidence that faith, whether it's yours or somebody else's, works because of the Spirit who is in us. Amen.